Lee.
Welcome to the Triple M Darling Downs Breakfast Cafe. Answering the big questions and solving the problems of the world.
We do it over a little bit of brekkie, thanks to our good friends Milk and Honey, Ann Street in Toowoomba, a great place to go, and I'd certainly recommend the beans on toast. Absolutely sensational. A very good morning to events coordinator extraordinaire Frances Holmes. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee. What a beautiful breakfast, all right, wasn't it?
Nice, isn't it? They do a great job. Lovely coffee there too. Yes. And our listener in pink, Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee. And I just want to, again, compliment Milk and Honey on the breakfast I had. The bacon is just to die for.
It is. A lot of people talk about their bacon and it just is magnificent. They get it locally too, which is great stuff, but I think it's just the way they cook it too. All right. Well, it's nice when somebody else is cooking it for you, isn't it? That's for sure. And when they're doing the washing up. Now, let's talk about a couple of things that caught my eye. One of them is a woman online. This is over, I think it was in the United States. It was come up through the Washington Post during the week. And she was talking about the fact, look, everybody knows about a wedding registry and a baby registry. Because she's going through it at the moment, she asked about a divorce registry and saying that, you know, when you're splitting from your spouse, it's at the time when you're most in need and you're most in need of things. And she hasn't got much left other than a bed and a couch. And she's now trying to restock a home or at least a little flat for her and the kids, and saying, well, maybe there should be a registry where my family and friends can weigh in and help me out a little bit. But Christine, are we going just a little bit too far here with the expectation that other people are going to, you know, provide you with the goods that you need when you've decided on a divorce?
I think so, because, you know, you can't expect everyone to prop you up all through your life, you know, and most divorces, things are split, and while some things you might not get one thing and you get another, and then the cash, and even if there's debts, you know, you just got to walk away with what you get.
Yep.
And rebuild your life.
And I mean, I suppose, you know, if you're talking about close friends and family anyway, you probably could make the phone call and say, look, mum, I'm in desperate, you know, sister, I'm in desperate need of whatever. Frances, is it just indicative of where we're at the moment? I mean, I was just talking before we came on air, a statistic, you know, 2016, the figures, you know, 11,000 divorces in Queensland alone. So, you know, multiply that out across Australia of where we are in society at the moment, that unfortunately divorce is so rife.
It is. And one thing I have to say, give us our gifts back. That's what I'd like to say. You kept our presents. Use them. Hop them off. Get some money. But look, honestly, all jokes aside.
I love that.
I used to be involved in a venue here.
Yep.
And we used to have young people coming through and getting married. And I cannot tell you how funny this is. No sooner they were married and we had their pictures up on our website saying congratulations, a few months later I had the bride in there saying, take it down, we're not together anymore.
Goodness.
Like, you know, we don't want, and sort of being sort of, I mean, my goodness gracious me, it was 7 months ago, you know, we have it up there because you're a beautiful bride. So this is really tells us what this society is all about. Mm. And I've got another answer for that, for those people who are divorced looking for stuff. Lifeline. Go get your gear from Lifeline. You want stuff? But, you know, in goodwill, we give gifts and we do all of those things. So what, do we get our presents back when they divorce or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's the question, isn't it?
I exactly love right. that answer.
Just quite often you put time and effort and a bit of money into the gift, and then if the marriage is over in a couple of years' time, you do feel a little bit jaded about the whole thing.
Well, I've been in this situation and my friends just passed on stuff they didn't want anymore.
Yep.
And I was grateful for that at the time, and I rebuilt my life and made sure it didn't happen again.
Well, it could be something that we see end up a reality, the gift registry after a divorce registry, good grief. All right. The other thing that I want to talk about, this has made the news a little bit recently. There has been a very long-running legal battle which has finally come to an end. It was a barber in Sydney who refused to cut a girl's hair. He didn't necessarily refuse because she was a girl. He refused because he didn't feel he was qualified to cut a girl's hair. He was concerned about the cut and whether or not there'd be backlash from it, because he's only trained as a barber, not as a hairdresser, and he recommended that she go to a hairdresser instead. Of course, the mum took exception to that and took him to the Human Rights Commission, and it has unfolded from there, and he has gone through a heck of a time, and probably so too the daughter that was caught up in all of this. Frances, is this just political correctness gone mad, or, you know, is there something for this bloke to answer to?
Oh, it's mad. like, if this was television, you would see me shaking my head from side to side. If we are, you know, clogging up our court system with this sort of ridiculousness, what is wrong with us? Truly, what is wrong with us? If we can't, you know, we have clubs, we have Rotary clubs here in our town here that are men only. So be it. Where are the poor men supposed to go? They want to be together. They don't want women to come through. We have organisations that women only, and, you know, organisations where women only, and they want to be by themselves. They want to be together. What is so crazy about you wanting to go to a barber and getting your hair cut and just talk men? As soon as a woman walks in, there's a difference. And this is just political correctness gone crazy. And if we're going to clog up our courts like this, God help us. Whoever took this on should have thrown it out of court, because it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. Yes, it is more expensive, but look how much time they spend to cut a woman's hair rather than a man's hair. The clippers come out, clip, 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 it's over.
That's right.
So this woman honestly needs to get a life. There's a problem with her and her life. She has very little in her life if she goes after, if she majors after minor things like this.
Well, it went through the courts for 10 months, which, as you say, I mean, ridiculous to be clogging up the courts here. And yeah, I mean, Christine, that's the point that Frances is making there, and I would make as well. I mean, we've got, you know, women's only gyms like Fernwood. So if we get a bloke that wants to turn up there and says, well, you're going to have to allow me to become a member, otherwise we go to the Human Rights Commission. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Are people just looking for something to be offended by?
I think so. And the other side of this is that if I, as a consumer, went somewhere for a service and that professional said, I don't think I can give you the best for what you're looking for, I would be so grateful. I'd say, thank you, have a good day. And then if I got asked by a friend or someone later, oh, what's that place like? I would recommend them because they were honest. I mean, come on, people. Don't you want the best for yourself?
And the other side of it, I guess, is if he'd done the job and he botched it, are we going through the courts again at another one?
You just reminded me, years ago, I had a bad haircut and went home and cried. Oh, gosh, I should have sued.
Well, and that is it, isn't it? I mean, you know, we used to laugh about these things, Frances. I mean, this has happened in Sydney. This used to be something we'd laugh about, that only in America, the litigious society, and yet here we are finding ourselves in a very similar scenario.
Absolutely. You know, we all talked about years and years ago, we would be horrified to become another US of A.
Yeah.
And we are becoming exactly like that. We're thinking by cash grabbing very quickly is we look in faults somewhere where we can grab a dollar or two. And that's what I think the problem is. We are becoming who we used to laugh at.
Yeah, well, let's hope we don't end up a laughing stock with these sorts of things. I mean, it's ridiculous. And for mine, I think a business has a right too to say, I'm not serving you because I don't think I can do what you want me to do. And that's the right of
and
the business to refuse service.
And we should be appreciative of that.
I think you're absolutely right. Christine, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
And Frances Holmes, always a pleasure to have you part of the cafe.
Thanks, Lee.
Well, this event has become iconic in the Southern Downs region, and why not? It just gets bigger and bigger every year. Jumpers and Jazz in July, and this time next week, the streets of Warwick and surrounds will start to come alive with the festival getting underway. To tell us a little bit more about what we can expect to see, we've got the chairman of Jumpers and Jazz, Dan Noble, on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Look, I'm well, mate, and a big, big year, I'm assuming, coming up with Jumpers and Jazz in July.
Yep, certainly is. Look, it's a huge, huge year again this year. I think we've managed to grow it even more, and there's going to be so much happening across our region, really.
It certainly is a big boost to the local economy, isn't it? I mean, you get plenty of visitors coming through for this to have a look at the events and all the trees decked out in their jumpers.
Yeah, it is. It is a great thing. And you know, that was one of the, I guess, when it started back in 2004, was you know, part of the idea was to give a bit of a boost for local business because, you know, it's a quiet time of the year traditionally. So, yeah, we get lots of visitors, you know, from Brisbane, Toowoomba, Gold Coast, all that sort of coming up and to have a look.
All right. Now, as I say, kicks off next Thursday, but you've got a couple of big weekend programs and there's plenty on for people who might be coming to look for a day trip from other parts of the region.
Yeah. Look, the both weekends are absolutely packed with different events. Friday the 20th is a big winter dinner, which is always very popular. There's jazz at the gallery, Kalani Bonfire Night. That's always huge.
Yeah, that's massive.
It's an amazing spectacle out there. And of course, the grand automobile display in the main street is that's another massive event. I think there's over 200 cars there this year.
Wow.
That's all in the first weekend. And the second weekend, we have the Saturday Stroll and Swing, the Morgan Park Raceway Jazz Lands, and there's the Potter's Wintercraft Markets, and of course, the Warwick Credit Union Picnic in the Park is the big finale. So there's just heaps of things each weekend, and they're obviously the main ones we're involved with, but we've got over 100 community events this year as well.
Sensational. It's great to see so many people right across the region embracing this, and as you mentioned, I mean, even as far away as Killarney, it's worth the trip for that bonfire night. That is just something absolutely spectacular. The creations that people put together their bonfires is just quite phenomenal, so I do recommend that. Where can people go to get some information on this chock-a-block program?
Well, there's the website, obviously, which is www.jumpersandjazz.com. We've also got our Facebook site. There's programs available now. They should be available at most visitor information centres around the region, but they're also available online at the website as well. And of course, there's a number of people want to get in touch with the organising committee to ask any questions. We've got a number there, 0491 070 017. So people can get in touch with us anyway. Email, phone, have a look on the site and we can help them out.
Well, Warwick's Jumpers and Jazz in July. It runs from the 19th to the 29th, and the website to check out, jumpersandjazz.com. Dan Noble, the chairman, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Lee.
Whitney Houston's mother has finally responded to claims made in the documentary Whitney that the pop star was molested as a child by her own cousin, Dee Dee Warwick. Telling People magazine, "We cannot overstate the shock and horror we feel and the difficulty we have believing that my niece, Dee Dee Warwick, molested two of my three children." Oscar-winning filmmaker Kevin MacDonald unravels the mystery behind The Voice, who thrilled millions, even as she struggled to make peace with her own troubled past in Whitney.
Why didn't Sissy do more?
What was Whitney's drug of choice?
What was it that drove them apart?
How much do you think you spent?
Did John ever try and get rid of Robin?
Were they in love?
You must have known about the drug use.
I never knew there was any addiction.
Do you think she understood herself?
I had fun. And that's all that matters.
Hearing her sing the Star Spangled Banner, she made people proud that they were Americans. Don't you dare walk
away from me. Sissy Houston, speaking on behalf of herself and her sister Dionne Warwick, says she first learned of the claims 2 days before the film's May debut at Cannes. Whitney is in theatres now. One of the Nike Mag sneakers worn in the 1989 classic Back to the Future Part 2 sold last weekend for nearly $134,000 on eBay. The shoe, which was in pretty bad shape and somewhat disintegrating, had 220 bids. The Marty McFly footwear was a single left shoe made for Michael J. Fox. In the film, Marty and Dr. Emmett Doc Brown travel to the future where, in 2015, shoes have power laces. Oh, if only. And a Tom Petty box set of unreleased music is coming in September. Over the course of a professional career that spanned more than four decades, Petty released a vast amount of material, including 13 albums with the Heartbreakers, three solo outings, and dozens, if not hundreds, of covers, outtakes, live versions, stray B-sides, Petty songs covered by other artists, and a whole lot more. Yet there's still a lot of unreleased music inside the late musician's vault, and four CDs of it will be coming in a box set called American Treasure, which is scheduled for release on the 28th of September. And that's the latest.
Music, celebrities, sport, gossip. The Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs Triple M.
Whitney Houston's mother has finally responded to claims made in the documentary Whitney that the pop star was molested as a child by her own cousin, Dee Dee Warwick. Telling People magazine, "We cannot overstate the shock and horror we feel and the difficulty we have believing that my niece, Dee Dee Warwick, molested two of my three children." Oscar-winning filmmaker Kevin MacDonald unravels the mystery behind The Voice, who thrilled millions, even as she struggled to make peace with her own troubled past in Whitney.
Why didn't Sissy do more?
What was Whitney's drug of choice?
What was it that drove them apart?
How much do you think you spent?
Did John ever try and get rid of Robin?
Were they in love?
You must have known about the drug use.
I never knew there was any addiction.
Do you think she understood herself?
I had fun, and that's all that matters.
Hearing her sing the Star Spangled Banner, she made people proud that they were Americans.
Sissy Houston, speaking on behalf of herself and her sister Dionne Warwick, says she first learned of the claims 2 days before the film's May debut at Cannes. Whitney is in theatres now. One of the Nike Mag sneakers worn in the 1989 classic Back to the Future Part 2 sold last weekend for nearly $134,000 on eBay. The shoe, which was in pretty bad shape and somewhat disintegrating, had 220 bids. The Marty McFly footwear was a single left shoe made for Michael J. Fox. In the film, Marty and Dr. Emmett Doc Brown travel to the future where, in 2015, shoes have power laces. Oh, if only. And a Tom Petty box set of unreleased music is coming in September. Over the course of a professional career that spanned more than four decades, Petty released a vast amount of material, including 13 albums with the Heartbreakers, three solo outings, and dozens, if not hundreds, of covers, outtakes, live versions, stray B-sides, Petty songs covered by other artists, and a whole lot more. Yet there's still a lot of unreleased music inside the late musician's vault, and four CDs of it will be coming in a box set called American Treasure, which is scheduled for release on the 28th of September. And that's the latest.